Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies out there to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. We're coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio, which is a viewer-funded station, folks. So every time I get on here, I ask if you got a little bit of money you can share, please throw it into the kitty. I believe the station is doing great work, and we have great people coming in. All that being said, thanks to Steve Roberts today for producing my show, and thanks for tuning in. We're going to talk a little bit about something that most people really don't think about a lot. And I'm joined today by Luca Minel. We're going to talk about learning to unlearn. And that being said, welcome to the show today, Luca. And let's kind of break this down for people a little bit. I have a pretty good concept of what we're going to talk about, but I'm sure people here really haven't thought about it in the ways we're going to present it today. So welcome to the show.
I thank you. It's a real honor. And this is all I've asked to do all my life, probably for the last 30 years anyway. I've always been asking Creator, like, how can I make a difference? Just use me to make a difference, you know, because once you start waking up, you realize that you have to be of service to others. It's not about me anymore. It's not about the singular, you know, especially now. And with all the stuff that's going on in the world, I feel blessed to be alive, to be, you know, among people like you and important people that can share the messages that we have. You know, I mean, if I get killed in a car crash 5 minutes from now, when I walk out the door to go buy bread, everything dies with me. So this is, I think, a message that you have, and it's very strong. But everybody's good at something different. For me, it's learning to unlearn. It's looking around and going, oh, we've been lied about this. Oh, we've been lied about that. Oh, we've been lied about everything. So when I saw that Star Wars movie, the second one, was it Return of the Jedi? Yoda says, you know, we have to learn to unlearn, and that was it. That's exactly what I'd love my shows to represent.
Well, we all know we've been lied to right from the day we were born, Luca, and learning to unlearn is a tough process because what's been programmed into our bodies and our brains since we were born is instilled very deeply in some people's minds, and to get away from it it's a little bit of a challenge. But when we really start talking about it, it's a very simple thing, what we're dealing with right now and how it's been implemented into our society and how we see these multiple control mechanisms that they've basically got us underneath their thumb now. And people think they're free. Boy, I'll tell you, we're a long ways from that. But I'd really like to get into talking about this learning to unlearn, because that it's a broad statement, my friend.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's about making the best of your day. Okay. I'm fortunate enough to have learned and to have lived with and to have prayed with and done ceremony with the First Nations here for the last 30 years. And I got a chance to see how they did things and how life was so completely actually polar opposite from what it is today. Mm-hmm. And everybody says, yeah. Well, there were wars before. Yeah, well, there were wars before, but they were completely different. They were for totally different reasons. We can't even start to, you know, be hypocrites like America is and say, oh, well, you guys are doing this and you guys did that. We've done more damage in the last 300 years than they have in the last 10,000, if they ever did any damage, which they didn't. They were all about cooperation. They were all about community. They were all about generations unborn that we have to take care of the earth for. That's learning to unlearn. It's like taking what we're living today and flipping it on its head. But the trick is, and I think this is how spirituality protects itself, and I always say this, is that people that don't really care, people that don't really, you know, care about anything else, it's not affecting me, so I'm fine. You know, I can do what I want. I'll drive my Mercedes. They won't get access to that stuff. So when the time comes when you have to be spiritual or you lose it or you die, those people are going to be gone first. So it's really the spiritual people that are going to live through what's coming. So it's really important. We can't convert people. It's all about touching people that want to be, that want to learn, that want to be woken up because they feel different. They know something's wrong. You know, I mean, I knew it well before 9/11. I was woken up in 93. So,
well, I don't believe that we can't convert people, because you know what? I've seen a lot of people that are sheeple, what I would call sheeple in my life, actually in the last year, especially more so in the last couple or 3 months, absolutely have a turnaround in their thought process, and they're actually getting involved now. So sure, there's going to be thousands of people that don't listen, thousands of people that are so deeply entwined into the matrix that they'll never ever be able to see the truth, or they won't believe the truth. But there is people out there now, Luca. And you know what? I wouldn't be here talking right now if I didn't think there was people out there that we could maybe make a little bit of common sense to, and maybe touch them in a way that they'll start to realize that everything we see around us is absolutely it's absolutely frivolous. It means nothing. What the most important thing that we are dealing with right now is the survival of the race, because we're killing the planet. And I'm a spiritual person just as well as you are. I know that we're in incredible times right now in human history. I know that we're also finding connections between people that I've never experienced before in my life. I'm sure you're seeing that right now. We're seeing a mass awakening. The more that we awake, the more they're going to push back. And we're seeing that every day now. Things are changing at light speed. And it's almost impossible to keep up with what's going on. It is. But yeah, you know, we're in very interesting times right now, Luca. And like I said, I am a spiritual person, and I read revelations and I understand prophecy. Boy, I'll tell you, it's sure playing out just like it was written in the book in my world. But all that being said, I'm not here to try and convert people to my beliefs. I'm just looking at things with a common sense approach. And what we're doing to this planet right now, really, we should all take a good look in the mirror and ask ourselves really what is important. Is that new car important? Is the new house important? Is the TV important? Who won the hockey game last night? Who cares? The fact is that our planet's dying right now at an incredible rate, and that should be the focus of all our attentions, as well as a multitude of other things. But yeah, we've really got to change our priorities, and those priorities will change when you start looking inside yourself and you start dealing with issues in your life. Go ahead.
Yeah,
that was a bit of a rant, but that's the way I see it.
No,
buddy.
No, it's fine. It's fine, because I just want to stay on that converting issue. I want people to make sure that they understand. When I sit with somebody that wants nothing to do with what I do, you can feel the friction within 30 seconds. You can't be in the same room past 2 or 3 minutes. Those are the people that you leave alone. But the people that come to you, or the people that ask, or the people that want to know themselves, or you can tell that somebody's awakening and, you know, you can offer help and stuff. And it's all about letting people be. You'll never see one instance of a Native American person trying to convert a Catholic or a Christian back then. You never saw that, because when you're happy with what you believe, you stay inside. You don't try and change other people's minds. That's not what we're here for. We're here to welcome everybody that wants to understand, and the rest, well, we'll pray for them, right? Because it's getting so bad right now. The truth movement is opening up like a crack, and we get to see things that we've never seen before. And I'll give you an example. This guy was named Lord Macaulay. He was making an address to the British Parliament about India, and he said he's never seen a beggar, he's never seen a thief, and such wealth, and it's incredible the moral values that people have, the high caliber. I do not think we could ever conquer a country like that unless we break the very backbone of this nation. And that's the spiritual backbone. See, so India was no different than Australia, was no different than the United States, which was no different than, you know, and this is what they do. They came here, they didn't care about the people at all, and the same mindset is here today with us. It's exactly the same thing. Whether we like to believe it or not, it's irrelevant. And again, those people are just going to, you know, die with their own ignorance. Cognitive dissonance, I guess we call it. So when you're awake and you start to wake up, this is what happens. You get teachings all the time.
Boy, I remember when I first woke up to all this, Luca, it was about 8 years ago. Somebody said, Barry, you got to sit down and watch Architects or Truth 9/11. And I said, sure, I'll sit down and watch it. And that night was a change in my life, like hit me with a sledgehammer. And my first reaction was absolute rage at what I was learning because I was so in the dark. And that's the emotions you're going to go through when you start realizing what we're dealing with right now. Your first emotion should be rage. And then, of course, the fear factor steps in. And that, my friends, is the biggest weapon that they use against us is fear. We see that everywhere now. You drive down the street and you're looking in your mirror and if there's a cop behind you, you're just paralyzed. Well, we got to get over that first because fear, man, I know there's going to come a point here very, very soon in my life. Anybody that's talking against government, anybody that's doing what we're doing right now, and there's thousands of us out there that are actually getting involved now, we're going to be attacked, and we know that's coming. So I'm preparing myself for that, Luke. I really am, but I'm not going to shut up. I know you won't, and I know people whose hearts are really in the right place as far as what we're doing will not shut up. I got to give a quick shout out to Kelly Elizabeth. She's in my chat room right now, and I'll tell you, I've had some people in Canada that have really in the last couple of weeks really helped us get the message out, and she is one of them. So welcome, Kelly, to People's Internet Radio. Uh-huh. Awesome lady. I just had to plug her. She's a great lady.
Yeah, good for you. One thing that's really important is ego. Spirituality nowadays is like the truth movement. It's like, you know, prostituted, just like, you know, the church beliefs were. And, you know, everybody conquers everybody else and everybody's at war with everybody else. This is what they want. They want you to be pissed off at me. They want me to be, you know, angry at Muslims for something they didn't do. So we can go ahead and you know, devastate the Middle East. But people that know, the people that are in the know, the people that really, really have the knowledge, they should be, it should be their responsibility to help people like us that don't know as much as they do. But it's not like that. They get paid to go do what they want to do. They'll go out there and make all kinds of money. They're contributing to Big Brother. So we have to really be careful because once you know what the truth is, there shouldn't be any problem. You know, if you know what the truth is, then why are you fighting me? There shouldn't be any fighting. We should be both agreeing. There's only one truth. When you study, you research, and you come to what the truth is, then you come to that one answer that everybody should be coming to. So it should be unification more than anything. But I'm just doing my thing on Facebook, and they can shut me off if they want. But, I mean, I'm getting messages now that I've never gotten before. And it's even when you talk about the military aren't comfortable with emotion, as we know, right? And every emotion that they feel becomes a discomfort, and every uncomfortable situation becomes a threat. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening. You said we're at war. That's exactly what it is, because the sensitive people don't understand militarized America and the New World Order and vice versa. So it's a big rabbit hole.
Well, once you get down it, buddy, you find three or four more rabbit holes going off to the right and the left. And I'll tell you, if you start going down the rabbit holes, you better take a GPS with you because you'll get lost. how did we ever find ourselves in the situation we're in today, man? I'm 63 years old now, Luke, almost 64. And just the changes I've seen in the last 30 years when I was growing up, society was still basically a wholesome society. If we took TV shows that were on mainstream TV right now and put them back into 1965, you would see a riot in the street like you've never seen before in the history of our nation. Yet now what is good is bad, and what is bad is good. We've seen how that's been brought in. We see how moral decay is really affecting our world. We see, can't call anything else but Satan. Satan's running amok right now on our planet. And, that is talked about, of course, in lots of prophecies. But all that being said, what we're seeing right now is a catastrophic battle between good and evil. And we know that good is rising, but the more it rises, the harder we're going to get pushed. So right now, the most important thing, I think, in people's lives is to have some kind of a spiritual connection, because some of the things we're going to experience in the next little while are really going to shock people to the core. And I'm not a fear-mongering type of guy, man. I'm not. But I see all this coming. I see how they're setting us up for a one-world government. You know, we have to take into consideration that they control all the economies in this world. And they could literally, in the flick of a switch, turn the world upside down into a complete state of chaos, you know, and out of chaos comes control. And these are things that, you know, we really must for parasols for folks, because they are coming, and I honestly believe that. I'm sure you would share that opinion, Luca.
Yes. And it's a script that they're going by. People should check out the Protocols of Zion. It doesn't matter if you believe in that or not. It's the same thing as aliens. You know, investigate aliens. Investigate the Protocols of Zion. Find out what the word Zion, Zionist, means. Find out the difference between Jew and Zionist. Find out, you know, just what I encourage people is not to believe us. You know, do your own research. Everybody wants it, you know, given to them on a silver platter. It doesn't work that way. Find out the difference between natural law and man's law. That's really, really important, what's coming now. They've been lying. They've been murdering. Okay, we're talking, what, 30, more than 30 million people we've killed, America, since the end of World War II. We're fighting 10 wars right now, and we're talking about Russia destabilizing our elections, right, when we've destabilized 81 different elections in different countries. I love that one, you know? So once you start doing your research and you start seeing what they're doing, you look at the impunity of 9/11, you look at, you know, the illegality of Israel, find out what you're good at, and put your hand in the grease, like they say in French. They say put your hand in the dough for the bread and get your hands dirty.
Well, then you better have some time, because once you start going down rabbit holes, like I said, it's almost like you need a couple months just to start to understand how everything ties together, how 9/11 and Big Pharma and the FDA and all government agencies are interworking with each other, with the court systems, the legal systems. All aspects of government are corrupt to the core. And
I've got a quote right there for you. Don't move. Before you change your subject, think about this for a second. People are fed by the food industry, which pays no attention to health. Okay? And they're treated by the health industry that pays no attention to food. Mm. You know, it's things like that, that they're all in bed together. Find out, go look up the history of Monsanto under globalresearch.ca. Fabulous article. And you find out the ties between them and Big Pharma. You find out the ties between them and Rockefeller Medicine, how they had to have a backdrop of chemical cocktails to kill you in order to, you know, it's fascinating. And, you know, it's all Rockefeller takes care of that. Rothschild takes care of the Vatican, you know, the crime boss and the mafia, right? And everybody's sickening us. They're poisoning the air, the soil, the food, the water. You know, this is agenda. It's exactly what they want. So they didn't count on people waking up like us. That's for damn sure.
Well, we better get on it, folks, because what Luca just said is absolutely spot on. Our society now, Luca, is so sick. It absolutely boggles my mind when I read reports in and out all the time about the rises in diseases, and it's just rampant. And yet we, you know, we
and
spend
the first clue. The first clue that you have, Barry, I'm sorry, I won't interrupt. Just give
no,
me
no,
help
go
that
ahead.
One. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
The very first clue that you're spot on and that you're in the right direction is when you start spending more time by yourself than you ever had before, because nobody wants to hear you. Nobody wants to talk about what you're interested in. You're shunned by everybody. I lost the entire side of my brother's part of the family, because they wanted to get away from the beep that I put on Facebook. Okay. My one and only son that's 37 years old wants nothing to do with me because of the beep that I put on Facebook. They want nothing to do with that. They think I'm a conspiracy nut. They think I belong in some kind of, you know, insane asylum. And all I'm doing is doing my research. So figure it out, right?
I've had the same thing, Luca, believe it or not. I got family that know that things are really, really nefarious in government, yet they don't want to get involved. They just, you know, I hear from my family, we're just so busy. We, you know, we're trying to do this, trying to do that. We don't even have time to look at this, Barry, yet everything you're doing is frivolous. It's absolutely frivolous, because what we need to do right now is we all really need to look in the mirror and go, hey, wait a second, hold on. If we know about this, which we do, and there is no doubt about it, because you can go on the internet in 2 or 3 hours and absolutely find information that, if you're not aware of, will shock you to the core. So if that's being said, Luca, then it's our responsibility, it's our civil duty, it's our moral duty. If you say you love your children, you say you love the perceived freedoms that we have right now, you've got to stand up. You've got to stand up and be counted. And there's all kinds of things that we can do, Luca, to stand up and be heard right now. And, you know, we could get into talking about that. I mean, that's another subject altogether, but there's answers out there, folks, but we all need to get off our butts and get involved. Go ahead, Luca. I mean, we don't have time right now, guys. We really don't. I see such an acceleration. We don't have a lot of time. Okay. We really don't, Luca. I'm being as honest as I can right now in my thought process. You know, we see such an acceleration right now. And, you know, we see it in Canada. We see it everywhere in the world, that it's going to come to a push point in the very near future here. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time, folks. And that's all I got to say. We really need to stand up. If you got any kind of moral backbone, if you really love your children, which we all do, and you love your country and your freedoms, we got to stand up. Sorry, go ahead.
No, because it's true. All this is, I don't know if you guys have seen that meme on Facebook where they show different people that are heads of state playing a chess game, and we're all huddled underneath trying to hold the chess game up for them. All we have to do is stand up and their little game is over. That's exactly the way it is. They don't care, okay? This is the three words that I use. I've never used those words so much in my entire life about anything else. They don't care. When you look at absolutely everything, you can talk about the water problem in Flint. You can talk about the Palestinians in Gaza. Think about the difference between the Aboriginal societies, the First Nations that were here in Canada and in the United States. Think of how they operated. Oh, matriarchal societies. Well, what's today? Patriarchal societies, exactly the opposite. Women get shunned. Women get locked up. The church had to come out with a manual for the woman. Keep her in the home in the 1960s. I can show it to anybody that wants to see it. In Montreal, it came out in French, and I was so appalled that I translated it. And it's all that, you know, it's the church telling the women what their place is in the kitchen and in the bedroom, all those cliches, and that's the way it was, so that men can go out and rape the world entire, right? That was the whole idea, because they knew how powerful women were. Well, learning to unlearn has to do with that, because when women find out the powers that they really have, like they say, like men say when they're on their time of the month, their time of the month happens to be when they're the highest point of their spirituality. And when it came to that, for the last 10,000 years, women on their time would encircle the men in prayer because they were so strong spiritually. It was run by women. The lodges were owned by the women. There were war councils that were led by the women. No decisions were made without them. You weren't allowed to interrupt them when they spoke. It's completely the opposite of what you have today. And they lived balance, which is probably one of the biggest words, the balance between, you know, positive and negative, dark and light, whatever. They were amazing leaders, and they still are, but I'm not talking Hillary Clinton either. I'm talking the right-thinking women. So that's what we got to get back to, and that's what Floyd Wedcrow Westerman said before he died. We got to get back to the matriarchal clan system where the women, the right-thinking women control the tribe, you know. Men know their place in a woman's world. It should be exactly the opposite. And we wouldn't have any wars on earth, and everything would be taken care of. It's a miracle, you know. We're giving how much a year to Israel? Millions per day to Israel. Why is that? You know, find out.
Well, you'd have to say something. In Canada here, we're sending billions of dollars to third world countries that support some of the worst human rights violations in the world. I mean, we're buying oil from a country that supports human rights violations, i.e. Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, when we have the third biggest oil reserves in the world right here in Canada. So what's going on there? It's just another example. It doesn't matter where we look. Any example of government that we look at, if you look at it closely, you'll find out that there is absolutely nothing they're doing that's beneficial to us, period. And you can't say it any other way. I mean, we talk about our health. We talk about our food. We talk about, oh, man, I mean, the list, we could get into a list, and it is absolutely endless. I just can't see anything that government is doing that's beneficial, period.
So what government?
Guys, somebody bring it to my attention if there is. Go ahead.
The word government, it comes from two Latin words. You have gouvernare, and it's practically Italian now, and you have ment. Government means control of the mind. That's what it means. It's mind control. That's what government is. That's what learning to unlearn is, okay? We see the word government all the time. Wow. You know, I'm starting to get good with words, you know, compound words. Government is one of them. It's a very, very powerful one. And that's, you know, they want us over-medicated. I'm sorry. They want us over-medicated and under-educated.
Exactly. And, of course, the word pharmaceutical, well, if nobody know, I mean, most people know it came from the word pharmakia, which is the practice of evil medicine. And if you look it up, you'll find out what I'm telling you is true. So what's going on in our world, guys? I mean, the big pharma to me is the biggest scourge that's ever happened on the planet Earth. Everything that we need to heal our bodies is provided by the Earth. And you're right, Luca, back 300-400 years ago, we respected the planet because we realized that the Mother Earth is a provider of life in the future, life for our children. It sustains us. And yet now we're at a point where literally we're almost at a point when I don't think I could ever say this in my life, but I honestly believe we're at a point now where the Earth is getting close to a tipping point, where we have taken so many pieces out of the food chain in the last 15 years. We see the amount of die-offs we're seeing right now. Well, it can only go to a certain point, and then it's going to break, and that food chain will break eventually. And when it does, people are going to freak out because food's going to disappear. Hyperinflation will set in, and people want to do something about it. But you know what? By then, it's too late. But we see this coming right now. I touched a couple weeks ago on food shortages that we're going to expect on the planet here in the next 2 years. I urge people, you to go look at this information. Don't take what I'm saying or anybody else is saying about this. Go look at the projected food shortages that we're going to experience on the planet in the next 2 years. And if that doesn't shock you into reality, then I don't know. You need a blue pill. Go ahead.
Well, you said something really good about respecting Mother Earth. You know, yeah. People hear that all the time. Yeah, you know, they sat down on Mother Earth, whatever. You know, and then they go, you know, they go throw out 40% of their food. America throws out 40% of the food that we eat. I just thought I'd throw that in. But what they used to do back then, the grandmothers. Back then, maybe 200, 300 years ago, whatever, they would sing to the corn, literally. They would kneel down when they planted, they would sing just like they would sing to a family member to put them to sleep. This is what they did, you know, and the earth produced like you would not believe, just like a student that's talked to in a good way and that's taught properly by the teacher. He will produce like you would not believe. Look at what the earth does now. Before we had, what, 300 or 400 different types of cabbage, let's say, today, 15, 16, you know, cucumbers, you know, 300 different types of cucumbers before. Today, 12, 13. It's very obvious. In the span of 80 years, the earth just shut down. You know that the trees used to talk before because people listened. People would go to the forest and sit down, put their back against the tree, and that was therapy for them. They didn't need big pharma, you know? And the trees would talk to them, and they would talk back, and they knew each other. This is what I'm learning. And that's what happens. You ever notice you feel magical when you go to in the forest or when you're breathing the fresh air or when you're by a rush of water? This is what it is. That's learn to unlearn. It's going back to Mother Earth. It's trusting yourself to, you know, let those feelings out. And it's becoming a better person every day, basically.
Absolutely. People ask me why I love going into the bush and foraging mushrooms and why, to me, that's living. And I do it. Luckily, I get to do it 3 or 4 or 5 months every year. Actually, I was just out yesterday for my first fiddlehead pick of the year. So, boy, I'll tell you, it sure brings you down to earth when you walk on the grass, guys. We really, really have to change the way we think about our future and our children and the planet, guys. Really, we're at a tipping point right now, but you know, I don't think we're past the point of no return, but we are getting close. But we have the solutions. We have all the solutions in front of us. And if we don't embrace them, then it's going to get to a point where our children are going to curse us, because we know now that there's something really serious going on. We got to do something about it. If we don't, it's going to get to that point. And I don't want to see that. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I really wouldn't wish it on anybody, what we see coming. And you don't have to, I got a comment in the room there. We could talk about Fukushima for a few minutes. And boy, some of the reports I've read, and it's really hard to get factual information about Fukushima out, yes, because of the media quash in Japan. But there is, yes, information coming out right now. And I'll tell you, folks, if you think that we've heard the end of Fukushima, we haven't even heard the beginning of it yet. And I'm convinced of that based on some of the information that I've been hearing. And I actually am lucky to be able to communicate with Dr. Helen Keldercock. And she gives me information that's absolutely stunning. And we see it now. We see that, you know, Oregon and Washington State are talking about completely shutting down their salmon fisheries this year, and yep, all sports fishing shut down. I read two reports the other day about, I forget the name of the river, Luca, in Oregon, but at this time of year, that river is full of fish. And they're documenting this, and the biologists don't have the answers, but there's no fish there. None. I mean, none. I mean, wow, guys, what's going to take? Really, what is it going to take for us to all stand up and go, hey, it's our generation to deal with this? Because if we go another generation or even another 10 years, I think we're going to be in trouble. Go ahead, Luca.
No, well, this is why your show is so important. This is why shows like this are so important. And I had two shows a week called Global News Update, and this is what they were. They were about learn to unlearn, and they were about global issues in the news. And after 102 shows, we're saying the same thing almost every show, because it's so important. We never run out of subject matter if we did one every day, because there's so much. And if you'd allow me to just read something to you, I mean, you probably know it. You probably know parts of it by heart, Barry, but this is something that I really want to share with everybody, because it explains very quickly what's going on. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Past presidents of the United States and other high-profile political leaders have repeatedly issued warnings over the last 214 years that the United States is under the control of an invisible government owing no allegiance acknowledging no responsibility to the people. According to half a dozen of our former presidents and vice presidents, high-profile political leaders, an invisible government that is incredibly evil in intent has been in control of the United States government ever since the days of Andrew Jackson. They virtually run the United States government for their own selfish purposes. They practically control both parties, and they operate under a self-created screen, seizing our executive bodies, our executive officers, schools, courts, newspapers, and everything created for public protection. So as a result of that, we've come to be the worst ruled, one of the most completely controlled and dominated governments in the civilized world. Hmm. You know, it's a bunch of rich guys and gals that I can trace it back to the late 1600s. They were in control of the American Revolution. They were playing it like a chess game from Europe. And the Rothschilds have been in control that way. You know, land loss in the United States. Oh, land loss in invented and illegal state of Israel. You know, it's all a chess game. So this is what they do. And they have to kill everything off. You watch. Water is going to become the next gold. You watch. People are going to be paying $5 a bottle.
Yep,
that's what's coming. Because they're destroying all the water sources. You notice? Trump just said yes,
fracking.
Gave the green light to the
fracking.
EPA.
Fracking.
Yeah.
Fracking. Coming through aquifers. I mean, I've read reports. Nicholas Clare in England brought a report to my attention about the effects of the aquifers over there. The fact that this gas is going to pass through the aquifers is going to contaminate all our groundwater. Well, there's another attack coming. You're right, Luca. There's going to be wars fought over water.
That's what Standing Rock was all about, you know? And
I know,
Standing Rock was just
aquifers.
To show you.
Hmm. Well, the more we talk about this stuff, the more people are getting educated about it. And that's what we have to do right now, folks. So if you want to help out and you want to get people aware, just start sharing information. Get people to go have a look at some of the information we're talking about. That's shocking.
Yes, just make sure it's the right information. Make sure it's validated. When you talk about something, don't talk about opinion, because everybody has one. Okay. It's like what you sit on every day. Everybody has one. Talk about the truth. When you talk about stuff like that, talk about verifiable truth, or don't talk at all. That's my law.
Absolutely. You have to vet your information, because there's nothing worse than fake passing around information that's false, or sharing an opinion that is not in line. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I try and vet information when I go on and talk about stuff like the die-off of mammals. There's sites that I follow all the time now, and I've looked at the reports and the sites, and then I vet the information, and a lot of it comes from the countries, from official government sources, and I go to the source, and you see the information is true. That's the kind of stuff that we need to share, because there's a lot of BS going on out there. We know that, Luca.
Yeah, well, guess what? You know, if anybody's heard of Doug Rock, there's different pronunciations, Rock or Roke, R-O-K-K-E. You can look him up on YouTube. He was phenomenal in his exposing the fact that we used depleted uranium munitions, and you're talking straight uranium 238, no coated, no tipped. This is solid uranium 238 on our munitions in the Middle East in the first Gulf War, right? So this gets people sick, and then the government doesn't want to pay for it. They send in their own troops, i.e., ours, to clean up the mess under Schwarzkopf. They knew what they were doing. They all get sick, okay? That's another story. But basically, Doug Roke or Rocky came out with this. And then you find out that he's the one who knows the army company that took care of the thermite for 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he bragged about it in front of two people. That I know one of the two people he bragged about it in person, right in front of, about a foot and a half away from them. Oh, yeah, I know those guys. You know, the thermite comes from them, you know? So
go ahead. Depleted uranium is a gift that's going to always be given, guys. Always. For 10,000 years, what they did is criminal. Go ahead. Just wanted to add that in.
No, we're always thinking certain people are good people, and then you find out afterwards, oh, they're criminal. Oh, you know, like, that's why we got to be careful. I mean, the best of us are making mistakes like that. So,
well, we do have solutions, folks, but like I said earlier in the show, we really got to get on it here, because we are finding ourselves in a real pickle. You know, Luca, all this political stuff, you know, it'll come and go and it'll pass. You know, nations rise and nations fall. That's always happened through history. But the fact that the earth has always been able to sustain life is something that we've taken for granted. But now we're in a different period altogether, where we're actually at the point where we could extinguish life on this planet. I don't want to get into nuclear, but it is the most insane thing that the human race has ever brought on, and we didn't bring it on. The military-industrial complex brought it on to produce weapons-grade plutonium. It was never meant to produce power. It's just another example of how bad we've been duped on certain issues, but now we look at what nuclear power is doing around the world, and we're only, what, 70 years into the proliferation of nuclear power. What's going to come in the next 30, 40, 50 years that we're leaving for our children? Just insanity, guys. Yeah. We're killing the earth.
There's so many, and this is what makes great shows like this, because you never run out of material, like I was saying. Just Israel by itself, you know, look at what the Rothschilds did. They took over the United States, and if you put a land loss map of the Indians right next to the land loss map of the Palestinians, same thing, exactly the same thing. And then you find out that Israel was invented in 1917 via the Balfour Declaration. It's like, you know, you're talking to a guy that just got his computer blown up. My computer fried yesterday. I don't know why. It just decided to not start all of a sudden. It won't even boot up. So I'm doing all this by heart. And it, you know, it's great. It's like, well, okay, you know, you have a fire, you lose everything. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to retrieve my files, but I know that I'm talking from the heart, and that's all that matters. And when you do that, you don't need any notes.
I've never put down a note for any of my shows. If we can't come up with a little subject matter in an hour conversation, then we're really in trouble, because, like I said, there's an allegory of events, and we haven't even talked about other issues that we're dealing with right now. We don't have time to touch on those today. We get into one conversation, and there's a pile of things to talk about. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've been paying attention to what's going on in Canada up here. I mean, we're dealing with an absolute lunatic. There's
Canada. Canada taught me with what they did with the Squawkwo tribe out in BC with the Shuswap Nation and the High Alpines. When I saw what the companies were doing, Delta Hotel and Nippon Cable, the disaster, they just give themselves permission to expand something like 4,000 units to maybe over 30 or something. Break, just rape the mountainside. And the High Alpines, according to, again, the native brothers and sisters that were here for tens of thousands of years, the best meat came from there. The best medicines came from there. The best water came from there. What do? We go up and just trash it. And I followed what happened under Arthur Manuel and Irene Billy and people, my mentors, they're people that I really look up to. And I saw the genocide. I saw the Nunavut food prices. I did a rant for 3 days on that one about how expensive the food is. This has got nothing to do with transportation. It's all about genocide, Duncan Campbell Scott didn't do his job properly, I guess. Find out about Canada. Find out what the word Canada means. Find out what Toronto means, Find out who was the co-founder of British Columbia. Find out what he said about the racial relations and how the superior people have to completely devastate and annihilate the inferior race. It's disgusting.
Mechanisms of division, my friend.
Yes.
Implemented over a long time that society really doesn't recognize but accepts as being part of the norm. But really, when we talk about divisions, that alone could be a 3-hour subject about how.
Yeah, residential schools will be one too. If you want me back for the residential schools, I would be happy to.
Luca, I've talked to people that were in them, okay, here in British Columbia. Yeah. They were in them. And I've had firsthand accounts face to face that would bring tears to your eyes. My folks, I'm not kidding you, folks. If what went on there doesn't touch your heart, I don't know what to say. But yeah, go ahead, Luke. I was just going to add one thought.
There's one really cute way my grandmother taught me about how to find out if people tell the truth or not. Okay, well, if you tell the truth, then you got nothing to hide, right? The truth fears no investigation. So hey, it's like sure, go ahead, investigate all you want. I don't care. Well, how come we have Obama saying that, it's going to be treasonous to even suggest differently from the 9/11 Commission? You get all the countries that were involved in the Holocaust in Europe that have the same laws about speaking out publicly about the Holocaust. If they're telling the truth, wouldn't they want to shout it from the rooftops so it never happens again? No. See, I'm German. From my ancestry, I'm German and Austrian, so I'm kicking butt in that subject too, which is a lot of fun. And again, we've been lied to about that too. So this is stuff that they can't allow to come out, and I'll be happy to talk about that anytime, and I'm sure that's your job. You're probably already doing that with so many other things, and I've got to hand it to you because I've heard a lot of good things about you too, and I've known you for a while, and I'm proud of what you do, and it's really tip of the hat to your show and to people working with you.
Well, thanks for the kind words, but I'm just here, buddy, opening my heart because I don't know how else to talk to people now. I shed tears every day, buddy, and that's part of me. I can't hide that. I won't hide it, and I'm going to fight till the death.
Yeah, I've been brought down to tears a couple of times in a couple of shows recently, too. But you got to remember that it's the people like us that we're lovers. So, we love life and we're going to help people that we can. And it's contagious. Love is really contagious. So I know that people are out there, they're listening and they're taking notes and they're realizing, hey, I'm kind of like that. Get into chemtrails. Get into Monsanto, get into Rockefeller Medicine, You know, find out what you can do to kick butt, you know, and make more noise. That's what we got to do. We got to get more people educated, more people involved, more people pissed off is what it is.
Time to get mad, guys. It really is. It's time to take the gloves off, because if we don't, we're really going to regret it. And I've used this phrase a lot lately because it resonates right to the heart that our children are going to curse us, because we do know we're aware of all this. I mean, if you aren't aware of what happened on 9/11, and if that doesn't get you to a point where you want to find out what's going on, then you really, I don't know how else to say it, but you've lost your heart. I don't know how else to say it to you, because we're fighting a battle here that we can't lose this. We can't. If we lose this battle, our lives are going to change forever, and we will all be grinding and cursing each other for not getting active. So we do have a window. Yeah, we do. And all is not lost. But I've never felt an urgency like I do right now to try and get people to understand that we don't have time. We don't have a lot of time to address these issues. Outside of that, I don't know how else to say it, guys. You know, I've enjoyed this conversation with you immensely today, Luca, and I'd like to get you back in the near future here, and we could get into some other subjects that I know we both share opinions on.
I'd be happy to. And I just want to, you know, empower the listeners, because, you know, some are driving, some are working, some are just sitting down staring at the floor, or, you know, everybody's got a role to play. I always say this, everybody's a color. Like, you know, Barry's red, I'm yellow, somebody else is purple, somebody else is blue, because we're really good at individually, we're really good at something that we can, you know, put into the mix. You know, it's like a good soup, it's like a good, you know, different dish to have onions in it. It's got all kinds of different flavors in it. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're all supposed to come together with stuff that we're really good at. And that's the color, you know, the colors together make the rainbow. So That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, me too. And like I said, I don't think we're past the point of no return yet. I mean, a lot of my shows, I focus on cannabis, of course. And when I start talking about that, Luca, it absolutely lifts my spirits, buddy. I honestly, in my town here, I've had it nine or 10 times now, where people have simply added cannabis to their bodies and killed cancer. We got it all.
Well, you're talking to one of them.
Amen. I say, My buddy's life, I didn't say that cannabis did, but all we did was add cannabis to his diet, and his cannabis, his cancer is gone, guys. So,
you have to be careful. You have to be careful, because you can't trust anything from the government. And what government is doing, they want to make us sick with that too. So they're trying really hard to get a patent on it, because they're going to go GMO with cannabis as well. So they're going to make us sick with cannabis as well, and they're going to profit from it. People are already dying. So if you're going to go the cannabis route, you got to go with a traditional healer or somebody that knows what they're doing, that makes it themselves. And that's what I have. I had stage two prostate cancer a year and a half ago. Today I'm cancer free. Simple as that. And you watch your diet. But you can't go getting it from government sources. Even some stores, you know, it's going to be synthetic marijuana or synthetic cannabis oil that literally make it worse for you. So a word of caution on that.
Yeah, I was going to throw that in. I'm glad you did, because Monsanto is genetically modifying it. And, of course, they're going to take out anything that's beneficial to the human being. The last thing they want is the public to have something in their hands that actually heals their body, because that would
big
pharma right out of business.
Anything that has to do with the FDA, anything with an FDA approval, I mean, that's a red flag. So you got to tell people to be careful, big time.
Cool, Luca, we're down to the last 3 or 4 minutes here. I'll take a break at the top of the hour for 5 minutes. In the next hour, I am joined by Sandra Solomon. Guys, please listen to Sandra talk in the next hour. She's got some incredible information and an incredible story. Luca, I'm going to give you a minute here to share some thoughts at the last minute of the hour here. And I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been a real heart-to-heart and warming conversation, my friend.
It's really been a pleasure. Again, it's just really important to make sure that you have as much resources as you can. I mean, with the internet, with the power of the internet and the knowledge that's available at our fingertips, it's almost criminal not to be informed of something or other that is enough to get you angry, you know? So, it's just a matter of trusting, because, you know, people are going to fall into two categories pretty soon. Either you care or you don't. There's no middle of the road. There's no mercy in nature at all. Natural law is just that way. It's, you know, you poison the water, you're going to die because you need water to live. And this is what they want. This is what the evil is doing, the dark side. So we just have to make sure that we are ready for battle, and that we're as spiritual as we can, and that we're doing what we can to alleviate our conscience. This is the only reason why I can sleep at night. So it's an urgent message coming from me as well.
Okay, and where can people find you, Luca?
I'm on Facebook as well. It's Luca Majno, M-A-J-N-O. They can reach me at majnoluca@gmail.com, which is majnoluca@gmail.com. For more information about, you know, cannabis oil as well, if they want, all we're trying to do is heal people. So, absolutely.
Amen.
And my Skype number, yes, my Skype number as well is luca.mino1, and they can get a hold of me through you as well.
Okay.
Love to be on the show again.
I will have you back in the very, very near future here, Luca. That's a guarantee. And I want to thank you for coming in and having a chat with me. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to take a break here, guys, for a few minutes, and I'm going to be back with Sandra Solomon. We're going to talk about radical Islam and the Quran and what she's doing in Canada right now. This lady is incredibly courageous. Please stay around for the next hour, guys, and you're welcome to listen in, Luca. Okay, we're going to take about a four-minute break, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back to the second hour of The Big Puzzle, folks. Enjoyed that first hour conversation, and I will get Luca back on here in the very near future. And right now in Canada, we have a major problem going on with radical Islamicization of Canada and Sharia law. And the lady that's joining me here for the second hour, I'm telling you, this lady has courage like I've never seen before in my life. I'm joined by Sandra Solomon, and I really don't know what else to say about you right now, Sandra, but I absolutely applaud your courage, and I want you to spend the next hour going to have a conversation about what you're doing to have the Quran classified as a hate speech, the people you're involved with, and some of the other things that we need to expose to the public about the Quran. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless Canada. And God bless everyone who's listening now. And I hope that everything we talk about today will be eye-opening and mind-opening for many people to understand the threat.
It's absolutely critical right now that we do get people to really understand what we're dealing with.
Yes.
A lot of people don't really have a clue what is in the Quran, Sandra. And that's a sad statement to make, but it's true. When I start talking to people, I don't understand the Quran fully. I've read a lot of it. But when you start talking about the people, they just really don't have a clue. So I think it's critical right now to understand what we're dealing with. And that's why it's good to have you in today. Let's talk about a few of the things you've done. We did post an interview that you did with Kevin J. Johnson, and I see you got a million views now on that video, Sandra.
Yes, yes.
So the word is getting out.
Amen. Yes, yes. And I hope that everything we do, it will actually, you know, get to people to step out and stop being afraid and stop, you know, being chained with political correctness. And it's not a matter of love or hate. It's a matter of a national security here.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you to get into some of the most graphic things in the Quran, because you are a lot more articulated about speaking in it. And I know you've studied it. You are an ex-Muslim. You lived in a country where Sharia law was the law of the land. And I'd really like you to bring to people's attention exactly what you dealt with as a child growing up, how you escaped, a brief history of your past, please.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Saudi Arabia since I was 9 years old. We're Palestinians originally. And basically, we study in Saudi Arabia mainly the Islamic teaching. It's very focused into the teaching of Islam, the life of Muhammad, the Hadith and the Sirah and all that. So basically the Sharia law. And many people need to know that Saudi Arabia, it's 100% Sharia law, Islamic constitution. When I say Islamic constitution, they take the legal system. It's been taken from the Quran. from the Hadith, but mainly the Quran, because to every Muslim, and that the oath that we have to give in the school, Islam it's our religion, Muhammad it's our prophet, Quran it's our constitution, Jihad it's our way, and dying for Allah it's our ultimate dream. This is the mentality that I grew up with since I was in school, and this is what they taught us. So to every Muslim around the world, all of them, they believe that the Quran, it's the final word, supposedly God, and Muhammad, he's the prophet, and the Sharia law, it's only lawful law. Every human being on the face of the planet should submit to Islam, should submit the way of Sharia law as a legal political system. For example, for the punishment, they call it hudud in Arabic. For example, if someone steal, there is no such a thing called, oh, we put them in jail and we do rehabilitation and we give them chance and they spend some time in jail, depends on whatever. They don't believe in such a thing, kind of law. They believe in everyone who steal, their hand should be cut off. So this is basically a very simple example. Like for every Muslim, is the Quran is the constitution. There is something called execution square in Saudi Arabia, where people, even kids, after Jum'ah prayer, which is Friday prayer, they go to this execution square where people witness either the beheading or the flogging or cutting off the hands. So as a child, I witnessed the beheading myself. So basically, to me, I still remember it till today. These things, it doesn't leave you. It doesn't leave your even your subconscious. No matter how much I tried, it is not leaving me. So things that they cast a terror, cast fear in the heart of people since we are young. If you criticize Islam, you are a blasphemer. If you dare to leave Islam, you are apostate and you should be killed. So basically, so many things that makes me slowly, criticizing and thinking, and especially in high school, when I start become more and more into reading psychology books that they teach in universities, when I used to go to the library and get these books, because in the school, 99% of the teaching, it's focused into the Islamic teaching. Other subjects, it's not really that much of the, broad or focused on. So Arabic, Quran, memorizing Quran, they call it tafsir, commentary of the Quran, and all that stuff. So as I start reading more of a psychology and start to analyze and criticize the book itself, the Quran, there was a huge assignment that I did in school for the psychology teacher, and I proved to them from a critical, I have a critical mindset, and from academic point of view, that whoever wrote the Quran, he has a psychological issue. The God of Islam, he has it doesn't make sense to me. The Quran, it's a book full of hate. And whoever wrote the Quran, he has a serious psychological problem. And I explained it to them in the assignment. So therefore, the teachers went so much, angry, and they took the assignment from me, and they kicked me out from school for more than 10 days, and I had to write papers, me and my family and all that stuff. This is not just the first time. Many incidents happened to me in school. I've been kicked out. I've been tortured. My brother attempted to murder me many times. I almost got killed just because I start to refuse to rebel. I don't want to wear the hijab. I want to have my freedom to speak. I want to have my freedom to criticize. I don't want to live according to Sharia law way of life, especially us as a woman. We're very much treated as a nothing, as a sex slave, as a property. We have to have a guardian. I cannot leave the house without permission of a man, even if just go get some grocery and come back. You know what I mean? It's just a lifestyle for women under Sharia law. It was to me, living in jail. I couldn't express myself. I couldn't. There is no life, basically. It just, imagine. And I got also house arrest for a couple of years. The fact that my family, they were so like worried about me bringing the shame to them, because I'm one of the few girls, you know, that you know, in the community, in the society, I'm stubborn, I'm determined to live independently, refusing to wear the hijab, the niqab, the burqa. We in the Saudi Arabia, they force us to cover our face and all the stuff, yet it's not even mentioned in the Quran. So basically, all what I was fighting for, it's my freedom, my dignity, and I couldn't take the torture. On top of that, my family, they forced me to marry someone I did not know, I did not love, I did not want it to be with. I call it rape. It's not marriage. If you live with someone, like from day one, I don't know him. I was just forced into him because they give me the option. It's either you're going to be locked up home until you die or marry this man. And I couldn't take the physical torture from my brother. He was very much religious and very devout, and he did not want me to leave the house unless I put the hijab, and I refused to put the hijab. So basically, my stubbornness got them to be to the point that they couldn't, you know, I had to fight for my freedom to the end until one day I made it and I escaped and I came to Canada. Once I got my papers, the fact my ex, he applied for Canada as an immigrant, and as soon as I got the papers, I made it right away. I took the first plane. I came to Canada. And,
I'm glad you got out of there.
Yes, I took up the hijab. The first thing I did.
Yoo-hoo!
Took up the hijab and threw it in the garbage. And I got my baby with me. He was only 3 years old. And I started my life here in Canada from below the scratch. Like no money, no language. I don't know nobody. But I was so happy and so rejoicing. The fact I left Islam and I left the living under Sharia law. I gained my freedom. I gained by my power. And I felt like, you know, like an eagle, like a bird who doesn't want to, you know, the cage was open. That's it. I'm free.
Yeah, and now it's coming after you.
Now it's coming after me. That's why I'm freaking out.
Well, I know, Sandra, I see it and I understand. I follow the government. Justin Trudeau, you know, I'm not going to talk about him a lot because I really have a hard time controlling my anger. I'm at that point. I'm at a point now, Sandra, honestly, I have a hard time listening to the guy talk because I feel violently ill, and I've never ever felt that in my life. I feel a violent illness inside of me just listening to him talk. He's so shallow. I mean, we don't got time to get – we don't really have time to get into his meetings with George Soros. We don't have time for his drama. But really, one only has to understand that the two-hour closed-door meeting that he had with George Soros in Davos, his agenda, what we're seeing being played out in Canada, was laid down to him in detail, and he's doing exactly what he's told to do. But we're not here to talk about him today. We're going to talk about the Quran. I'd like to talk about I want to pronounce this right, Takiya or Takiya?
Yeah, not tequila, Takiya.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I want you to really explain that to people because it's something I think it's critical that people understand. That's what's in their doctrine. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, as I said before, okay, let me tell you something first about the Quran. This is a fact, you know what I mean? Things about the Quran. Well, it's a broad subject and there's lots into it because there is a history involved too. The Quran, it's been, the Muslims, they have actually two Qurans, I would say. The Makkiyan one and the Medina one. It has something to do with the life of Muhammad, because I strongly believe that the Quran, the author of the Quran, it's Muhammad himself. The one who claims that he's a prophet and he's receiving revelation. He's not a prophet, and he was not receiving no revelation, no nothing. So basically, he was reciting whatever he's reciting or whatever he's saying to the people. Oh, it's revelation. It's coming from his filthy mind, basically, like bottom line. So, and claiming it's from God, okay? So the Quran, as I said from the beginning, every Muslim believe that Quran, it's their constitution. They don't believe in the Canadian constitution or any country in the West that they live in. They don't believe in their, like, they don't believe in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedom of Speech. Forget it. They don't believe in a U.S. constitution. They don't believe in any country constitution. The only, lawable law, it's the Sharia law coming from the Quran. So the reasons why I'm calling or starting my international campaign to designate Quran as a hate literature, it's the 6 points I'm focusing on. Because Quran promote or order or command Muslims, number one, to hate, which is anyone who is not a believer, killing through jihad, an act of extreme terrorism, pedophilia, violence against women, anti-Semitism, stealing and lying to the unbeliever. Well, when it comes to the point of stealing and lying, the lying is the taqiyya. Muslims, they've been taught that they have to lie until they got what they want. Why? Because majority of them, they believe they are at war with the kafir, with infidel. And the planet Earth, it's been two parts, the house of Islam and the house of war. The house of Islam mean whatever countries that Islamic countries. So basically, we have now almost, I don't know, like around 57 Islamic countries, right? So the rest of the world, it's not Islamic yet. So each and every country who's not governed by Sharia law, they are the war zone for Muslims. They need to go to these countries and take over and conquer. Because the ultimate dream for them is to, and this is what I've been taught since right. I was in high school. Our ultimate dream is to build worldwide Islamic caliphates, to bring the raya right. of Islam, the flag of Islam, which is what's been written on the Saudi flag or ISIS flag is almost the same. The Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, mean there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad his messenger. This is the flag of Islam. And they want to govern by Sharia law. What's Sharia law? It's the legal system, the Islamic legal system, it's being taken from the Quran. The Quran is their constitution. So when it comes to the taqiyya, when you read in Surah or chapter 3, call it Surah Al-Imran, and you go to the verse 28, you can read, let not believers take the disbelievers. So the believers, who is the Muslim? Who's the disbelievers? The kafir, the infidel, anyone who's not Muslim. Say, let not believers take the disbelievers as allies. Example, supporters or protectors, okay? Rather than believers. So only believers should stick together. Because Muhammad, when he started with a bunch of thugs and bandits. So he did not trust nobody. So basically, it's a thug bandit way, mafia way of thinking. And whoever of you, mainly the Muslims, does that has nothing. For example, no association with Allah except when taking precaution. See? Precaution against them and brutalness. And Allah warns you himself, and to Allah is the final destination. Mainly because the Muslims now, they are at war with kafirs, infidels everywhere. So they have to practice taqiyya. Okay, what's taqiyya? Meaning, Islam is religion of peace. Oh, you are Islamophobe. Why you are talking like this about Islam? Oh, we need to bring motion in 103 because we need to quell anyone who, you know, criticize their, they need to be labeled Islamophobe. Anyone who say anything about Islam, for example, like me, like anybody, should be labeled, you know what I mean, as a racist, as a white supremacist, even though I'm not white, and Nazi, even though I always openly support Israel and I stand for, I'm fighting anti-Semitism hardcore, all these labels. So basically, using taqiyya and try to play the victim card, and try to sneak into the government and taking position, like how many MBs we have Muslims, how many Muslims already infiltrated the government, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, like it's a well-known terrorist organization. They are open organizations, and they do lots of events. They do lots of fundraising dinners. They start doing this slowly, lying and lie after lie after lie. And you can tell the lie long enough until everyone thinks that is the truth.
Mm. We see it everywhere. We see it.
Exactly.
We see it in our schools. We see it in government. We now have in Canada, I believe it's 12 MPs sitting in our Canadian government right now that have direct ties to Hamas or the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Motion 103. I mean, this is just a barbaric piece of literature, but it is opening the doors for the implementation of Sharia law. It's a blasphemy law. When we get our thoughts persecuted, then we are in real trouble. And that's exactly what M103 does. You want to talk about that one for a couple of minutes?
Yes, M103. I actually went to Akra Khalid office and I delivered a letter to her. It's there on my YouTube channel. Many people can go and see it. She cannot, like, she's not cooperating. She ran away. I give her the letter in her hand. I called her for a debate to prove to us that the Islam is religion of peace. And motion M103 is not introduction of a blasphemy law in Islam. There is a law, according to Sharia law, if you blaspheme against Islam, against Muhammad, against Quran, you consider a blasphemer. So, and there is a punishment for it. Yes, motion M103, it is used by the Muslim Brotherhood to quell anyone who dare to criticize Muhammad and Islam or Quran or whatever. So basically, they do whatever it takes them. Once they got into the, but that's why Islam, it's not a religion. This is the biggest proof. A motion M103, it's one of the biggest proof that Islam, it's not, you know, a religion as people thinking still. It's a political ideology, totalitarian ideology masked with religion. You know, the ritual that they do, to pray five times, to fast Ramadan, to go whatever around the freaking stupid cube and throw the stones and kiss the stones and whatever they do. I don't care about these kind of ritual. Everyone has his own way of whatever doing it. My main concern is the political side of Islam. That's why they want to be in the power. They want to be in the parliament building. They want to be in charge of lawmakers. They want to change the Charter of Rights and this is unconstitutional and it's against the Charter of Rights and Freedom of Speech section 15, which is already, we have it. We already protected under our Charter of Rights and Freedom of Speech that everyone, you know, has the right to live and practice their religion or their faith, you know, equally in Canada. So why bringing the Muslim community above every other community? And they are mentioning especially quill. You see the word quilling alone, it's the biggest red flag in this motion. They did not just say, oh, we want a study. Let's do a study. If they just say, let's do a study, I have no problem, really. But we want to do the study to quell. And civilized people, they talk to each other. They don't quell each other.
Absolutely. If you just look at the history of the word Islamophobia.
Exactly.
Sandra, I mean, that word was created by, I believe, CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood back 1972. I believe that was,
from the Iranian regime in the beginning when the Khomeini took over. And then slowly, of course, Muslim Brotherhood, they took it. They liked it.
Of course.
Because when the LGBT community starts to use the homophobic, you know, they like the idea.
Exactly. Do you want to talk about Shahada for a few minutes and explain to people what that is?
The Shahada in Arabic, when someone accepting Islam or converting to Islam or become a Muslim or grow up in a Muslim community or society or country, this is their, you know, see, as a Christian, we say in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we believe in. And that this is to declare our faith in one and only true God and in Jesus and the salvation and what he did on the cross. So basically the Shahada is the declaration from anybody, it's either convert or Muslim, to say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad his messenger. In Arabic, it says, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. And wa Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad the messenger of Allah. So if you don't associate the name of Muhammad with Allah, your shahada, it's not. If you say, okay, just if I say there's no God but Allah, I don't want to talk about Muhammad. I want to give it all to Allah, whatever. they're not going to accept it. You have to associate Muhammad with Allah. So basically to just declare that you are a follower of Muhammad and taking Muhammad as your also role model and you're one of his followers.
And you'd have to say this prayer in front of two imams, I believe, to make it valid.
To declare your shahada. Let's say someone convert to Islam, of course they have to go to the mosque in front of witnesses, mm-hmm. and the imam is there, and they will recite, oh, say after me, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And even it's funny, some people they say it. It's funny. Sometimes the Muslims, when someone tell them, oh, I want to become Muslim. See, they don't tell him, take the Quran, read it, read about Muhammad, take your time, study, and we will answer any questions that you want to have a doubt or something. Okay? But in another, when it comes to Christianity, when I came to Christ, the pastor, he just gave me the Bible. He said, if you have any question, we're ready. But in Islam, many people, they come and they want to convert and they come, oh, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, brother, he wants to be Muslim, let's bring him over. He did not read the Quran. He doesn't have no clue what the Quran say, has no clue what Muhammad teach, For them, it's just a number, basically. They want number. Think Islam, think mafia. So yeah, when they recite Shahada, this is declaration if they are they become Muslim. Then this is my request to anybody who's considering to become a Muslim. You need to ask them at least one question. If I decide to leave Islam, will you leave me alone? Will you not kill me? Will you not consider me apostate and give a fatwa and harass me and make, at least one question. What's the penalty of leaving Islam?
Death.
Yes, at least one question before you convert to Islam. Forget the Quran, forget Muhammad. Just ask them this question. And I guarantee you, most of them, they're going to be like, oh, it's okay. There's no compassion in religion. You can leave, you can come. But this is taqiyya, this is lie. Think of Islam as a product. It's a product. And they're doing marketing for it.
Well, I just don't get it, Sandra. Prime Minister stands up there 100 times now and said that Islam is a religion of peace. So, is he lying to us?
Definitely, he's becoming a taqiyya perfection. You know what I mean? Especially, when he went.
When he says that, I just want a reel. But go ahead and just throw that in. We got to try and make a little bit of humor out of him.
Yeah, I know. Especially when he goes to Ahmadiyya community, he's like, I'm so delighted to be here with you tonight. I'm so delighted. What are you freaking delighted for? I'm like, seriously, the way he talk is like sickening.
I said it earlier.
I'll become your prime minister, inshallah. The way he talk, like he becoming so like, he think he's the caliphate, period. He think he's the caliphate, he's the Khomeini, he's a jihadi, he's a terrorist, period.
Well, he is absolutely doing exactly what he's being told to do. And and I know, Sandra, that he's just a figurehead, that he really has no control of what's going on right now in this country. He's being told exactly what to do. Really, Justin Trudeau, I call him the most dangerous man in the world right now. That's how I classify it.
Actually, yes. And this is not even, it's not funny because Canada is laying the ground to be international threat for USA, for other countries around the world. It's a national threat. Instead of Canada become the refugee place where people can feel peace and come for peace, like for me. Can you give me a minute here?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, no, well, we've made it in the top 10 as top dangerous countries in the world for leaks on cyber information.
Hey, Barry.
The U.S. government, yeah?
Why don't you look through the chat and see if there's questions? I think there are some.
Okay, boy, I'm sorry. I haven't been in the chat here, guys, so I'll have a look. Can we open the show to a call if somebody wants to call in, Steve?
Certainly.
So what, do you want to give him a number if somebody wants to call in? If you have Steve Roberts on Skype, or if we can get in and you want to make a question, just send her. I'll have to go back here and read it. I have a hard time doing that, Steve, because I'm trying to keep up with Sandra.
No, before you get the calls, I want to just read to you something from the Quran, the hate literature, okay? Before that you get the call, just a small verse from the chapter of Muhammad, okay? Chapter 47, Surah 47, chapter means Surah in Arabic. And verse 35, you can go ahead and read it for yourself. It says, when anybody tell you, oh, Islam is religion of peace, go right away and tell them, oh, have you read the chapters 47, verse 35, the chapter of Muhammad, the leader of all terrorists? When I say he, Muhammad, because to me, the Quran, the author of the Quran is Muhammad himself. There is no such a thing called revelation. Anyway, so it says here, so do not weaken and call for peace. It's straightforward. It's an order for every Muslim not to call for peace. Why? Because it says here, call for peace while you are superior, supremacy. And Allah is with you and will never deprive you from your deeds. See, this is a straightforward order for every Muslim not to call for peace. So if any Muslim or any leader say to you, Islam, religion of peace, tell him read chapter 47, verse 35, please. And okay. As I always call people to have knowledge because it's power.
What is the tax call that non-Muslims face? One of the questions I've had in chat.
Which one?
What is the tax call that non-Muslims pay?
Is non-Muslims are gay?
No, pay.
Oh, to pay the jizya. Sorry, they say the jizya.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the question I got in chat.
Yeah, fight who do not believe in Allah in the last days and not follow the right path, supposedly the Islam, from the people in the book, from the people of the book, which is the Jews and the Christians, until they give the jizya and feel themselves subdued, humiliated. As I said to you, Muhammad started his da'wah or his claiming that he's prophet when nobody listened to him, when no one, like they all know it, that he's psycho, he's crazy. So he couldn't help it. He got his anger and turned against his own tribe and his own people. He got the help from the bandits, the thugs, the terrorists. They used to go and kill the men and take women, sex slave, and take the spoils from the caravan, you know, the trades, whatever, between Mecca and whatever, the north and the south. And they used to live in the mountains. So he brought them. So he collect them and went to Medina and built his first army and start calling for jihad. It's a holy war against the kafir, the unbelievers. And they start taking more spoils and more women as a sex slave. And that's how he started his first Islamic state, the caliphate, and to call for building up and expand more until they took over. And Muhammad himself, he said, لن أترك في أرض العرب يهودي أو نصراني إلا مسلما. Mean, I will never leave in the land of Arab a Jews or a Christian, only Muslims. So basically, he killed what he killed. He did genociding and many sex slave, and the story can go on. And that's how Islam spreads. It's by the sword, by the force, by quilling and killing, both together.
Wow.
So when I started rubbling and exposing this and analyzing, and unfortunate, many Muslims, they just memorize, they just submit. They're living in fear. Living in fear. Fear can control people easy.
It's a great mechanism of control, absolutely. I'm going to read you a question here in chat. Here's something from the Bible. There will be a great gnashing of teeth as we tip into hell. If you have any false gods before me. Question. Somebody wants to discuss that particular statement.
Okay.
Is that a loaded question? I know what the reference is to. I'm just a question I've got from chat here, and I don't know if I put that over quite correctly to you.
So basically, as a Christian, we believe that salvation given to people freely from God for them to return and make a U-turn and turn to their Heavenly Father and from their wicked ways. Of course, they're going to be gnash of teeth. Of course, they're going to be living in separation, continuous separation. of one and only true God, they're gonna regret it. And maybe it's just symbolical. You know, when something really bad happened and you start like gnashing on your teeth, like, why I did this? Why I did not listen to Sandra one day when she was telling us? They're gonna be crying and gnashing of teeth, of course, big time.
Well, really, Sandra, one only has to look at the Trudeau government to see their absolute favoritism towards Islam and allowing this to perpetrate our community and our society at all levels. One only has to look at what's going on at our borders. One only has to look at many aspects of what's being used to undermine our culture and our society. One only has to look at what's going on in Europe right now to get an example of what is going to come to Canada in the very near future. And I follow events in Europe very closely. And what we're seeing over there is almost a state of civil war. This is by far no religion of peace. And anybody that says that Islam is a religion of peace has not read the Quran. So I think it's really critical that we talk about some of these things today, because, like I said, a lot of people have never even read it yet and don't really understand what we're dealing with. But it's in our face now. And it's, how do we get rid of it? How do we stop it? That would be my question at this point.
Yeah, there's two steps. Number one, to designate Quran as a hate literature through the legal system, through the courts. And this is what I'm doing now. I'm throwing my campaign, international campaign, to designate Quran as a hate literature. When I say designate, mean designated from everyone, from me, you, the people, the in the street, the people everywhere, include the government, include the security services, and to the point where it's designated legally. And I said it international, because wherever I go, any country I will visit in future, I will repeat the same thing. And so far, I started my visitations to mosques to challenge imams to prove me wrong. And I give away these flyers, the one I have made for this campaign, to the imams, to the Muslims. I'm giving them the chance to prove me wrong. And I had a phone call with Rabia Khadr, the one who did, she's part of a human rights tribunal, and she's the Muslim Council of Peel. And my conversation with her, it's on my YouTube channel, Voice of Sandra Solomon, and people can listen for themselves. Like all I'm asking for is imam to debate me publicly in front of mainstream media, in front of millions of people, to prove me wrong. And none of them so far called me, none of them contact me, and yet Rabia Khadr, request, finally, she's asking me to find a church, to find a priest. I don't know why she's insisted to find a church and a priest and get the debate going in a church. So why not a mosque? I don't know. I don't get it. But it's just a sign of conquering. That's all how Muslims think. Conquer, conquer, conquer. So why, how we do that? Two steps. Get the Quran to be designated as a hate literature. Have you read the book Mein Kampf for Hitler?
Mein Kampf?
Yeah, like the Hitler, the one, the book.
I've read a little bit of it, but not. I haven't.
Or know about it, or heard about it. Like many people, right. I'm sure heard about it at least.
Mein Kampf, it's called. Go ahead.
Yes, it's considered hate book. Hate promote killing, promote violence, promote anti-Semitism. Quran, it's full of it. Full of it, of anti-Semitism. Clearly killing for Jews and calling them pigs and monkeys and names and so on and so forth. So basically, it's a similar case. The Mein Kampf, like this book. This one promote hate, killing, violence. And that's the root of the problem. All the jihadists, every terrorist, they call them terrorists. I call them the true Muslim. Hamas, Boko Haram, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Taliban, name it, Abu Sayyaf, all these so-called terrorist group, they are the one and only Muslims. They're not using taqiyya. They're not lying. They're saying it the way it is. And they are reciting the Quran, and they're doing exactly what Muhammad did. So if we designate Quran as a hate literature, number one. Number two, anyone who promotes Sharia law should be criminalized. Criminalized. Like it's a crime to promote Sharia law, because Sharia law, Quran, it's a violation of a human right. It's a violation of our criminal code. It's a hate literature. hate speech. But
if we could ever get it classified as hate literature, the second part would fall into place because the uprising would start. And, you know, if this, the United Nations is the most corrupt organization in the world, but you'd think they'd sit down and have an open, honest reading of the Quran and break it down. And of course, we know that's not going to happen. We know that this will never be exposed on mainstream media. We'll never get the true information unless we get into it and look into it ourselves and listen to people like you talk. So it's been a pleasure having you on today. And a couple more things I'd like to talk about. Didn't Muhammad kind of have a thing for young girls? Let's talk about a few of the graphic things in the Quran, okay? Because Kevin Johnson brought a few things to my attention about that, and I'd like you to hit on that for a few minutes, Sandra.
Well, lots of things, you know, when it comes to Quran, it's like, as I said, there is a Makkiyan. Many people, they don't know something called the law of abrogation. Al-Nasikh wal-Mansukh in Arabic. Abrogation mean the Makkiyan verses, it's been abrogated, canceled, deleted. We don't have to live by it as a Muslims. They don't. As Muslims, they need to follow the verses, the chapters, the Medina one, that call for jihad, promote jihad, call for violence, call for, you know, taking sex slave and beating up the women and all that stuff. So basically, all what I'm asking people to very educate themselves about the Quran, yes, there is lots of things that Muhammad did. And look at the life of Muhammad. Even if you don't have time to read the full Quran or to study Sharia, read the life of Muhammad himself. Like, as a man, how can you make this man your role model? Like, he were a warmonger. He killed, he raped Safiya bint Huyay, the Jewish woman, after killing her father and brother and husband. The first night he raped her, took her as a sex slave, having sex with Aisha. Between 6 and 9 years old, he did dying with her. And at 9 years old, he consummated, like, with 9 years old, at 53 years old man. This is, and it says in the Quran, Surah 65, verse 4, clearly promoting pedophilia, because the marriage under a Sharia, according to Islamic Sharia law, there is no such a thing called minimum age for marriage. Like, a man as the 50 years old can marry a girl in a diaper. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, really, there's no minimum age.
Wow.
And I'm not the only one who said that. If you follow the police chaplain, I don't know how he became the Toronto police chaplain, Muslih Khan, he's an imam too. That's the disaster that we're living in. How can this man became a Toronto police chaplain and yet he said it? He said it. Go Google him, Muslih Khan. When he said marrying 9 years old, it's permissible in Islam. He said it.
I know. In Canada.
In Canada, I protested him. I went to the 40, whatever, the police station in Bloor Street, where I did demonstration. I wrote a paper for a letter to the what do you call it? The one who's above him. I forgot the term in English. That's 1 second. Okay. Anyway, so I wrote him a letter to request removing him, to remove him.
And?
I don't know. Nothing
never
happened.
Never got a response.
No, I did not get a response. Nothing. No response. Not even thank you for approaching us. Thank you for your concerns, at least. You know, at least a thank you. You know, not even. Nothing. So basically, Muslih Khan, there's another Canadian imam. His name is Bilal Philip. I encourage also many people to go and watch my video. I put it on my YouTube channel, Voice of Sandra Solomon, Make August 10, International Burn Hijab Day. I put some segments of imams, Canadian imams, what they are preaching in the Canadian mosque, on the Canadian soil. I'm not talking about Saudi imams in Saudi Arabia. We are in Canada. And that's what making me go crazy, because the things that I heard, the same things that I've been taught, the same khutbah, they call it in Arabic khutbah, you know, the preaching, the word they preach in the mosque, everything is the same. I heard in Saudi Arabia, they've been taught in Saudi Arabia, is exactly the same thing that they teach here in Canada, in the Canadian mosque, for Canadian Muslims' kids. How are you telling me these kids, they're not going to be radicalized when the imam's telling them, oh, if you marry 9 years old, it's okay, it's halal, it's permissible. If you kill the Jews, it's halal, it's permissible. If you hate the Christians and kill them, it's halal, it's permissible. If we wage a war against the kafirs, the infidels, it's halal, it's permissible. Day after day, you're inciting all this hatred, all this division, and they call for a diversity? Give me a break. Where's the diversity in the Quran? Where's the diversity in Saudi Arabia and Iran? So yes, the Quran, it's a full of hate, and pedophilia, it is promoted from the Quran in a very disgusting way, and we need to address everything disgusted coming out from this book, because this is the root of the problem. That's the root of the problem. That's what they've been taught, the Muslims, coming from this book. Eventually, there is two way. There's no in between. If anybody really fully understand the Quran and understand exactly what this book teach and analyze it and take out the holiness, stupid holiness, bubble out of it, And read it as he reading any book, as he's analyzing any book. Trust me, there's no other way. It's either they become a terrorist or true Muslim like ISIS, or leave it like me. There's no in between.
Absolutely, and there's no excuse for not reading it, Sandra, because you can Google it on the internet and get a copy of it in 2 seconds.
Yes.
So I've said this many times to many people, Sandra, if Canadians really understood the danger that's coming into our country right now, you would see them get involved. But of course, we're fighting the mainstream media. We're fighting, many aspects of a very few people that are bringing in catastrophic changes into our society. And why Canadians can't see it and stand up against it is a question I ask myself every day, because it's so in our face. It's in our schools. It's in our government. It's in legislations. I look at Bill C-71. I look at Bill C-75. That is an appalling piece of literature. And yet you can ask most Canadians what's in Bill C-75. They haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue, and I'm sure you are aware of it. It's just an example of what the government's doing in Canada right now and how it all ties together with what's going on with our border, what's going on with all aspects of our culture. And this is one of the main problems we're facing right now.
Yeah, that's what happened when the criminal want to take over the political power. It's to them, it's a political power. Of course, they're going to reduce the punishment for pedophilians, for terrorists. Look at the jihadi, Justin, claiming that he can reintegrate them. Give me a break.
Oh, man. ISIS and fighters, guys.
This is the question I asked. Sorry to cut you off. Where is the imams? Where is the refugee who ran away from Syria to Canada to escape ISIS? And yet, a few months later, through the bringing ISIS, and not even one refugee did a rally or protest and at the door of the parliament condemning Trudeau for opening the door for ISIS and giving convicted terrorists 10.5 million. And yet the veterans are dying in the cold and dying, and they lost their body part fighting the same people. And where is the refugee doing a rally across Canada asking to remove Trudeau because he opened the door for ISIS? It's the same people that they run away from them. Just to show you the hypocrisy that we're living in.
It's absolutely running deep in all aspects of our government. And we could talk about multiple scandals involved with the Liberal government. Nothing that Trudeau is doing is beneficial to Canada. And we are seeing a major awakening now, Sandra. We really are. In the last couple of weeks, I've experienced, and I know you probably have, everywhere that anybody is talking against our government right now, we're seeing a huge rise in audiences. And we need it right now, because we are literally fighting for our country. And yes, if we don't stop this right now, folks, it's going to change, and it's going to change radically and quickly. And I don't know if we can – it's going to take 10 years just to undo the damage that this Liberal government has done in the last 2.5 years, and we still got another year and a bit to put up with them. But I see a change coming, especially in Ontario.
I mean, trust me, my heart goes for this country. This is the country that I consider, even though I came as an immigrant, but I will consider myself, I came as a kind of refugee, because I seek refuge. When I left Saudi Arabia, I say it always. I did not leave Saudi Arabia to live in Canadian Arabia, man. It's everything turning to me like halal food. It's everywhere, halal market. Hijabi, niqabi women everywhere. Mosques everywhere. Bringing the Quran to school. Like, what next? What's next? Meanwhile, just go back to Saudi Arabia. At least it's warmer. Why am I staying in the freaking cold, man? Like, seriously. What's left? Execution Square. That's what's left to the liberals and lefties and Islamists. We need, maybe they're just gonna, soon they open Dundas Square to become the execution square and start doing the beheading and start doing the flogging and cutting off the hands. Trust me. And it's the contradicting. It's a hypocrisy. They know that they're gonna be the first people, these, the liberals and the lefties, there's gonna be the first people for these jihadists and these terrorists to wage war against them, because they're not gonna approve their way of life. They're not gonna they're not gonna approve women marching and open up their without bra, you know. They're not going to approve that.
I know. It's like they're signing their own death warrant and they don't realize it.
Exactly. You're opening the door for your own. When I witnessed the beheading, the guy with the big guy with the big sword, and it's still in my mind when he said, Allahu Akbar, and he behead the person.
What's your take on
this? Before every Islamic attack, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because Muhammad did it. Muhammad say it.
Well, there's a bunch of other stuff I want to talk to you about today, Sandra, but we're not going to have time because we're down to about the last 5 minutes of the show.
Wow.
I know it was going to go really quick because there's a bunch of stuff that I haven't even touched on. I made a list of things to talk to you about today and we're not even going to get at it. So, but what I want to do in the last couple of minutes, I want you to share contact information and I'm going to let you share some thoughts. I feel your passion and I feel your frustration, and I know you truly love what we have here in Canada, and you see it being taken away at light speed right now. It's not too late to turn it around, but we must act against this right now. Go ahead, Sandra.
Definitely. Break the chains of fear and stand for your dignity, stand for your values, stand for your land, stand for the future of your kids. Your kids will pay the price. And forget about the political correctness. And soon the victory will be on our side as well. When people, and get educated and spread the word, share my video, go to my website, voiceofsandrasolomon.com, and my YouTube channel, Voice of Sandra Solomon. And anyone wants to have me coming to their community, to the province, to whatever, to help and sponsor the campaign, I can visit the mosque or whatever in their community. They can call me at 1-877-854-7516 if they also want me to come to speak, to educate, seminars, whatever, anything about the Quran and what it teach. And you can also email me at sandrasolomon777@gmail.com if they need a copy of the flyer that I'm giving away everywhere. And if they want to help the cause, they can meanwhile go to the website. And I really, really hope and I pray that this country will be protected from jihad and terrorism. And my condolences for the victim of the latest terror attack happened. And without designating Quran as a hate literature, nothing will change. And the terror will continue. We need to take a stand and we protect the globe of the Islamization movement, because this is their final goal, to build worldwide Islamic caliphate. And we need to stop that and educate the public about it. And thank you so much for having me. God bless you. And I pray for your radio show to go even more and more viral. And many people will listen and have eye opening for what's going on.
Well, you know, at this point, we have to speak with our hearts, Sandra. And whether you like some of the things said today or not, that's up to you. But what I've said today comes from my heart, and what Sandra has talked about today comes from her heart. We do find ourselves in an incredible time in human history, and I really feel it's up to us right now to stand up and be men and be women and protect what we have, because it's getting taken away from us at light speed. And many people are still unaware of what's going on. I want to thank you, Sandra, for coming in today. I applaud you for everything you're doing and your courage, and God bless you. And I will help and support you every way I can.
Amen to that. Thank you. God bless you too. God bless Canada.
Well, folks, you know, today's been really enjoyed the show today. I know I got emotional a couple times today, but I wear my emotions on the sleeve. I can't help that at this point in my life. Thanks for joining in today, and I hope you come back next week and give me an opportunity to share some thoughts from other great guests I got lined up coming down the road. Thanks to my producer, Steve, and thanks to anybody that spent some time today to listen to Sandra talk and to talk to Luca and what Luca had to say in the first hour. Thanks again, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all, and have a great week.